Now that you've all sang the sermon, I offer the invitation of our... No, just kidding. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. Hayden spoke this morning with a lot of energy, and I'm afraid I don't quite have that energy at age 41, but I will strive to present the truth of the gospel as best I can, and I thank you all for coming out this evening. Who are you? I was born in a small town. My parents were poor growing up. As a child, some thought me weird. Others said, hey, he's pretty smart for his age. Who am I? Character number two. I've had many adventures in foreign lands. Some went better than others. Though no matter how that adventure played out, I never gave up on God. Truthfully, I never expected to become a leader in the military. My family also serves the Lord. Who am I? Well, again, brethren, good evening. Tonight, I want to know, who are you? I offer three major points, and then the invitation of the Lord. Number one, I can guarantee you there are three things I already know about you. And before meeting anyone new, these three things will stand true. There are certain characteristics that can span culture, race, gender, and even demographic. Yes, folks, baby boomers and millennials have more in common than they themselves might actually think. The first of the three things we all have in common comes from Genesis chapter 1. And if you have a Bible handy, I encourage you to turn there with me. In Genesis chapter 1, starting around verse 26, should be very common scripture to a lot of people, but Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." Irregardless of your age, gender, race, demographic, you are made in God's image. The scripture says we were made according to our likeness, our referring to God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We all have dominion over fish, birds, and animals, irregardless of any other factors in your life. The second thing that we all have in common, Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse 20, Ezekiel 18. Verse 20. "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Something we all have in common? Everyone is dead in sin. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. I too am dead in sin. But sinning is human. We all do it. But that does not make it okay. Let me share a story to help prove my point. Hey, where are you going dressed like that? Dad, all my friends are wearing stuff like this. So, just because they are, doesn't mean you are. Go change now. My point is, sinning is not something a person should strive for. And too often at work, I hear a coworker say, they are planning their sin. Boy, tonight after work, Michael, I'm going to dot, dot, dot. It's like, geez, really? Come on, guys. The third thing that I guarantee I know about you before I meet you comes from Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. We will all stand before Christ to be judged. You can find similar sentiment in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Even the atheist will have to confess Christ Jesus on that day. When I was in the army, I used to hear an expression quite regularly. There are no atheists in foxholes. I can believe that. But one thing that I can guarantee is there will be no denying Christ on the day of judgment. It says every knee, every tongue. My second point tonight. Three things you need to know about yourself to know who you are. The first thing that I think you should know about yourself comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 1 John 4 and 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. It's easy to worry. And worry unchecked can lead to fear. Fear uncontrolled could lead to depression. And Casey Tolsta gave a lesson on depression recently. If you did not get a chance to hear that sermon, if Go to cedarsower.com and listen to it. But think about phobias for a minute. A phobia is the fear of something. They can be very crippling. How many of you remember Howard Hughes? His spruce goose. But Mr. Hughes suffered from mesophobia, the fear of germs. But it made a billionaire into a very different person indeed. The Bible tells us not to worry. Matthew 6 and 34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient is the day in its own things. Easier said than done again. Don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah, right. You're not living my life, buddy. Maybe this will help you. How about Matthew 11? Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Brethren, you need to know that you can cast all of your cares and worries on Christ Jesus. Unload some of that weight you carry with you day in, day out. You need to know that you can do that. The second thing that I think you need to know about yourself comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You need to know God loves you. Yes, you. Even though you are not deserving, I certainly am not deserving of God's love. But he loves each of us anyway. So much so, we have an escape. We have an escape from sin and eternal damnation through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, whom he gave to us. Now, I'm sure some of you have put this together, but I'll lay it out there as plainly as I can. For 10 years, Isaiah was an only child. 10 years. And during that time, I could not have imagined having to give him up. Although yesterday he turned 15. Ask me after service if I'll give him away. Only kidding. The last thing that you need to know about yourself comes from Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to start in verse 15. No, I'm not. I apologize. I've written the wrong thing down. Okay, moving on. My sincerest apologies. The last thing you need to know about yourself is what goes in must come out. And the verse I should have written down is when the disciples were eating with unwashed hands and the Pharisees went to condemn them. And Jesus said, it's not what comes in, it's what proceeds out of the mouth of man. But let me bring that up to today. What goes in must come out. Television, music, movies. The language. Scenes that are inappropriate. How long can you take that in before it comes back out? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. My third and final point for tonight. Three things that should separate the Christian from the rest of the pack. Three things that should separate the Christian from the rest of the pack. Who are you? Well, I'm a Christian. But what does that mean? What has God given the faithful child and not a child of the world? Side note, there are way more than three things, but I'm going to offer three for this evening. The first thing that separates the Christian is John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, starting in verse 12, but as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. The right to be called a child of God, giving permission to bear his name if they remain faithfully obedient. At work, you don't give yourself a nickname. One is given you. Somebody names you. And it's like that with God. He will call you his child when you obey. If I call myself child of God but don't do the things required, that doesn't count. And admittedly, child of God is not a nickname, but I hope you get the point I'm trying to get across. The second thing that separates the Christian, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If children, then heirs. But what would you inherit? Well, I'll give you a couple things. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14, let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What will you inherit? A mansion in heaven. What else might you inherit? A crown of life. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When the lawyer is reading the will to the family, and I bust up in that meeting, The lawyer is likely to say, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm Michael." "Well, Mr. Michael, whoever you are, you're not an heir. Please leave." Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7 and 21. And lastly, the third thing that separates the Christian from the rest of the world is Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." What separates the Christian? His or her light. You and I are an extension of Christ Jesus, the true light. John 8 and 12. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Philippians 2 and 5, I won't read it, but it says that we are to be a light among a crooked and perverse generation. What's out there in 2019? If not a crooked and perverse generation, then I don't know what to call it. People outside of Jesus need to see Him in me. They need to see Him in you. In conclusion, have you thought about the first two characters I mentioned? Or did it already slip your mind? Number one, I was born in a small town. My parents were poor growing up, and as a child, some thought me weird. Others thought I was smart for my age. Who am I? Who thought I was talking about myself? I hope you guessed Jesus Christ. Born in a small town. His parents were poor. They had to offer two turtle doves, not a lamb. As a child, some thought he was strange. Others thought he was very smart when he taught in the temple. This man teaches as one with authority, not as the scribes. Character number two. I had many adventures in foreign lands. Some went better than others, although I always trusted in God. I never expected to become a leader in the military. My family serves the Lord. Who thought number two was Michael? I'd made number two a little bit more difficult. If you were thinking about it, you're like, he could have been saying David, maybe he meant Gideon. But he really meant Joshua. So 2 points forever, got those. Who are you? I really want to know. Who are you? You know. And my poor old Bible died during the sermon. Who are you? You know. But more importantly, God knows. How about the 139th Psalm? Psalm 139. And I'm going to start in verse 13. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, all my days, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God knew you before you were even born." He knew me before I was even born. That's power. That's pretty impressive. Who are you? Who does the world see you as? Does the world see you as a child of light? Or if you would tell them, hey, I'm a Christian, they would be taken back. I hope not the latter. I hope not the latter. That concludes my lesson. I do thank you for your time and attention. I now take the opportunity to extend the invitation of Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus' invitation. He is only allowing me to extend it this evening. And as I wrapped up, somebody was probably thinking, that boy stood up there and did a who are you lesson and never once mentioned Matthew 16, verse 13. But who do men say that I am? Some say Jeremiah, some Elijah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? And Peter gives that great confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus responds with, Simon Bar-Jonah, you have answered well. It was not flesh and blood that revealed this to me, but my Father in heaven. And it was on that great confession, on that rock, that Christ established the church. The same church you can be a member of tonight. The baptistry is ready and prepared. Willing and able men who would love to help you begin your journey in the light. What if you were once in the light but are now walking in darkness, like 1 John chapter 1 into 2 speaks? Repent while you still have time. And it can be a struggle to continue to shine in this very dark world. Perhaps you only need a prayer of encouragement. That would be available to you as well. Whatever need you have tonight, if you'll please come forward while we stand and sing.